For our scripture reading, let us turn to Luke chapter 5 and read the first 11 verses. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that is the Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That is then the Lord Jesus. This is the passage for our sermon as well, congregation. Particularly verse 5, the second part. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth, beloved congregation, he taught the people many lessons. He also taught his disciples many lessons that would serve the church not only then, but also today and throughout all the ages. And for that reason, the Holy Spirit saw it fit to write these things down in the Holy Scriptures. One of the patterns that we see in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way he dealt with the people, is this, that he would come into their situations and then he would surprise them in an amazing way, to show who he was and to supply their needs. Sometimes those circumstances are very unique, like a grave disease or even death. And then the Lord Jesus would show his power, the miracles of Jesus. And at other times he would do things in his ministry that took people off guard, it seems, that were so amazing in their lives, in which he proved to be the glorious Lord over all things, the extraordinary, but also the ordinary things. That's what we have in the passage before us this morning. And as I said, we'll deal with the whole passage, but especially that fifth verse, that second part. And by way of the theme, as you will have seen in your bulletin, Christ's glory revealed in the broken net. And we will take up three basic thoughts: a mysterious command, a doubting disciple, and an amazing miracle, or an overwhelming miracle. So, Christ's glory revealed in the broken net, a mysterious command, a doubting disciple, and an overwhelming miracle. A mysterious command. And our first subheading is simply the word context. And then the command, secondly. But the context here. Try to picture that. Last night, they had taken their little fisherman tug, and they had spent hours on the night dark water of the Sea of Galilee. Simon Peter, whom we read about already in chapter 4, verse 38, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, all three fishermen who knew their trade. They knew the rugged life, also of unpredictableness as far as the seas were concerned. Sometimes they would come in with a very good catch, and at other times with little or with nothing. But they knew nighttime was the best time for fishing. After all, then the sun wasn't beating down on the water, sending the fish down low into the sea. If you know people who live as fishermen, that's their profession, their trade, then you know that they know their trade. They know the shifts of the wind. They know the movements of the water, in this instance, the Sea of Galilee, at least better than most other people. And these fishermen were not men of a rather weak constitution, no strong men. These were quite young men. Peter would leave his wife. You don't know if he had children. He may have kissed his children goodbye and his wife. And John and James, they also left their loved ones, and they went fishing on the water in the hope that they would come home with the catch that they could then sell the next day for the marketplaces around the sea, or have others sell it for them. And that's what they had done this night. They said goodbye, have a good night. And they went to their ships and they started to go fishing. Nothing uncommon about this. And throughout the night, they had lowered their nets for catching fish at certain positions. No fish here. They tried over there. They tried over there. All over the place, it seems, hour after hour. And the stars, perhaps high up in the sky, the water lapping against their little ship. It was work, hard work. In the distance lay the villages where most everyone was sound asleep. Not these men. Slow the hours of this night moved, till came the fourth watch of the morning, and the sun rose over the east of the sea, and still no fish. You know, just one of those nights. The fish were just not there, gone. Weren't anywhere near. It was as if the fish could smell the nets and simply stayed away. So what do you do? Well, according to verse 2 of Luke 2, these men were already washing their nets to put them away and hang them up to dry. Now, most of us know some of this kind of a feeling. Certain periods in your life. Salesmen, sometimes it seems nobody's buying. Farmers, sometimes it seems nothing is growing the way you had hoped. Housewives, they sometimes feel like they're going in circles. Cooking, and then cleaning up, and doing housework all day, doing the wash. And then at night you wonder, did I produce anything at all today? It's like Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, what profit hath a man of all his labor? All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. And spiritually speaking also, we can have this kind of a sense of not getting ahead. We are laboring, but the only thing that happens is we get weary. Our nets are empty, it seems, despite our toil and sleepless eyes often. Don't you ever have that feeling as a congregation? Made a good try, and here you are. A lot of toil, only a little catch. Sometimes you say, no catch. That's how it goes in many congregations. Every year, neighborhood Bible school or vacation Bible school. Not bad, but not like it used to be, or it's not working here. Many nights of toil, prayer, vexation of spirit. Can't you relate to Peter here in this passage? After laboring all night and washing his nets in the morning, maybe thinking, if I hadn't simply gone out, I could have had at least a good night's rest. I wouldn't have had to wash these nets either. And then Jesus comes and he teaches the people that are there. That at least distracts Peter from having all his thoughts about that useless being on the water. That rabbi from Nazareth, a very remarkable man. He remembers how the day before he had healed his mother-in-law. A remarkable man. Devils even had come out of people crying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." I saw it with my own eyes, he will have thought. And today here he is again, teaching. And then all of a sudden Jesus enters into the boat of Simon. Simon, who is on the land washing and cleaning those nets. But Jesus needs this vessel that was useless to Peter this past night. I'm going to use it for teaching. That's, it seems, what Jesus is saying by doing it. And from the ship, a little off the edge of water and land, he teaches. The scholars tell us that in that way, his voice would have really been carried upwards to the people for them to hear well. And that must have been because he, who is Jesus, the Son of God, all things were made by him. The wind, the voice also was made by him. Would he not know how best to use his voice? He who formed the seas and the dry land, would he not know how to carry his sound up to the people? He who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Would he not know how his voice might carry into the many ears of the people that had come to listen to him? So he claims Simon's little boat, that boat that was useless last night. It was designed to catch fish, and now Jesus is going to put this little boat to use, and he is the master. So that's the context. Let's look at the command then. When Jesus was finished speaking, he commanded Peter, possibly the captain of the little boat, he said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." I beg your pardon? But that's what Jesus says. Launch out. And it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command from Rabbi Jesus. But a mysterious command, don't you think? For a couple of reasons. First of all, it's daytime. If they didn't catch anything at all in the night, the best time for fishing, why would they launch out now? And secondly, they're tired. Doesn't Jesus see it on their faces? They've gone without sleep and just had to clean their nets and now dirty them again. Sail out into the middle of the lake without having had any rest. And thirdly, what would Jesus know about fishing? They may have thought, Peter, James, John, they knew about fishing and about the sea about as well as anybody else. And this rabbi, he might know a lot about teaching and about the law of God. With eloquence he could do it, and with great wisdom. But would he know anything about fishing? Would he know the way of the fish or the habits of the fish, the way of the sea of Galilee? You see how mysterious this command of Jesus must have sounded in Simon's ears. But is it not so that when you and I read the gospel, that the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ often sounded mysterious? Think of these illustrations. Jesus talked to a lame man and he said, "Take up your bed and walk." That's mysterious. Or think of the blind man. Jesus says to this one, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam and you shall be healed." Peter would hear these sorts of statements again and again from Jesus' lips. 5,000 men, they need to be fed. And Jesus says to them, "Give ye them to eat." Or remember that occasion that he said to Peter, "Peter, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, you'll find a piece of money." Mysterious, isn't it? And how often don't we feel the same way? Jesus says to you, "Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples." Christ's command sounds so unrealistic, so mysterious. Or even in the Old Testament, think of Ecclesiastes, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days." And even after we have come to know the Lord and we learn to walk by faith with Him, so often He asks of us things to do that are so contrary to what we think, what we had imagined. And what may be most mysterious about this commandment of the Lord, "Go," are that He says, "And let down your nets for a draught," that is, for a catch. So Jesus is speaking this command in full expectation there will be a catch. These are His promises. "Ye shall catch." Jesus isn't simply saying, "Let down those nets again. Perhaps you'll catch something. Maybe not as much as you had hoped, but something for taking home anyway." No, for a catch. Jesus is promising a catch. Now, how do you respond to that congregation? Well, we see in this passage how Simon responds. And that's our second point, as a doubting disciple. First of all, let's take up his doubting part. As a doubting disciple, he says, "Master, we have toiled all the night and caught nothing." Sounds like he's rebuking the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Certainly there is a reluctance on the part of Simon, born from out of the fact of his own thoughts and experiences so different than Jesus. If anyone else of the people there would have said, "Simon, are you going to go out fishing again now?" He would have said, "Are you kidding? Tonight we'll try again." At this moment, every fiber in him would have said no. And he kind of blurts it out to the Lord Jesus when he says, "Master, we have toiled all the night and caught nothing." It's like he is saying, "Master, doesn't make sense. Science is against what you're saying. Logic is against what you're saying. Experience is against what you're saying. Every fisherman around this lake would contradict you. And our bodies don't like what you're saying." My wife, I'm sure, won't like what you're saying. And our children, if they had any, likewise. "Master, everybody can tell you it's no use. It's wasted. It's in vain." You hear the exasperation in Simon Peter's voice. He would have to set everything aside in his own thinking just to follow this mysterious command of the Master, especially expect then that mysterious promise to be fulfilled. He sincerely doubts it
all.
Now, do you ever hear that voice of doubt ringing in your mind? Perhaps when you read your Bible and you hear the command of the Lord to you, don't you ever sit reading and then think deep down, you might not say it to somebody, but I think it's interesting, but it's not going to work. I know it won't work. Everybody else can tell me that too. What do you mean, Lord? Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain me? Really? Everything seems to point in the opposite direction. Or take this, that the Lord says, pray that this nation of America will return to the Lord. Then maybe in our mind we say, no, it's not going to happen anyway. Or hand out tracts, gospel tracts, in your neighborhood or in another neighborhood. No, thanks. We've done that before. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. We've organized this. We've done that. Hasn't worked. And this time it's not going to work either. Or maybe you say, I've tried praying. I tried it the other night. I spent some hours in prayer the other night. I laid my case before the Lord. I toiled. I prayed. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Why would it change now? Peter, you'll feel how wrong he is in a few moments. Is that what he may have thought? And we recognize ourselves in that Peter, then, don't we? We know the language, we know the thought, we know the tone. But I ask you, do you also know that other part of Peter? That he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And that's the second sub-thought here. He's doubting, but he is a disciple, you see. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. A disciple learns from Jesus. A disciple obeys Jesus. And even though he doubts, he voices his doubt to the Lord. And he obeys. He can't stay where he's at. He has to go on. He has to come to that point where he stops with himself, his own thoughts. He needs to shelve them and say, indeed, everything in me rebels against this command, but still at thy word, I'll do it, Lord. That's the language of a disciple of Jesus. Nevertheless, at thy word. When everybody else or everything else goes against the word of the Lord, when sight says no, when experience says no, when other people say no, if Christ says, do it, what does faith say? Then faith says, I'm going to do it at thy word. That's the disciple. That pictures a disciple of Jesus. Nevertheless, at thy word. So that's a piercing question to you and to me. Is that you? Is it me? You know, we live in an age in which even in the church, people say the opposite of what Peter says. People say, you'll know. People say, you know what you have to do? You have to follow your heart. Ever heard that? You have to follow your heart. But the Lord, through His Spirit, says, no, follow my word. When your heart says, it doesn't make sense, but He says it, nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word in my soul. Nevertheless, at thy word in my marriage. Nevertheless, at thy word in my family. Parenting. Nevertheless, at thy word in my struggles, in my doubts. Nevertheless, at thy word as a congregation. What does he say? Nevertheless, at thy word, in your neighborhood, or our neighborhood. Nevertheless, at thy word, in our nation. Nevertheless, at thy word. That's what the Holy Spirit is teaching us, congregation, in the life of faith. He takes us in our doubts and fears, and he teaches us to say, nevertheless, at thy word. And if you do that, then you will experience what Peter experienced. And that's our third point, an overwhelming miracle. Because what happens? Well, first of all, the miracle happens. Just a little while later, there in the deep of the sea, when these fishermen let down the net, they feel their whole boat being weighed down and sinking. They enclose a great quantity of fish. There's so many that the net breaks. Even when they signal for the other fishing boat that's there, come and help us. And they do. And they put the fish into those two little boats. The two boats are about to sink. Now the question, where did these fishes come from? How could this be? All night long, no fish. At the word of Christ, all this fish. What is that? That is the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ revealed in the broken net. Peter, don't you see it? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching to his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Yes, Peter, you too, as a young man. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Peter, lift up your eyes and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Do you see these fish, Peter? Just look. Did I not write in my word in one of the prophets, Isaiah? Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted to thee, and the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Isaiah 60, verse 5. Do you see it, Peter? And then Peter, and that's our second subheading, he's overwhelmed. First the miracle, and now Peter gets overwhelmed. He recognized that he was in the presence of none other than the Lord God. The day before, when his mother-in-law was healed, in that miracle, Peter must have been filled with great respect for the Lord Jesus. But what happens here now, in Peter's field of expertise, so humbles him that he falls down on his knees, and overwhelmed, he cries out to the Lord, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." So close to this Lord Jesus, there is nothing left of this professional fisherman, except that he knows himself to be a sinful man, having a sinful heart. And he feels unworthy to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. He's so overwhelmed by a sense of the majesty of this Lord, this Creator Lord, this Son of God in the flesh, that he utterly loses himself at the feet of Jesus. Who was I, Lord, ever to doubt you? Who was I ever to reproach the Lord? And Peter senses that deep in his soul, and he just falls down at the feet of Jesus. It's almost like John in Revelation 1, as dead. But here with that sense of sinfulness, what is this? Christ reveals his glory in the broken net. And Peter says, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. But Peter's prayer here, depart from me, doesn't need an amendment, does it not? Doesn't it? It's a good thing that he is a disciple of Jesus and that Jesus can and will teach him more and further, because he needs it. I need it. You need it. We all need it, that he teach us. And what a mercy of the Lord Jesus that he did not do what Peter asked him, to depart from him. Jesus does not answer. He answers his prayer, but he does not answer his prayer the way Peter formulated his prayer, but the way Peter may have meant his prayer. What does Jesus do? He does not depart from Peter, but graciously stays. Peter needs to come to that point where we see Peter in John chapter 6, when many of the disciples of Jesus leave, and Jesus says to his own disciples, will you also not go away? And then Peter cries out, Lord, to whom shall we go but to thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's what Peter has to learn to see at this moment. Peter, you are saying rightly that you are a sinful man before the Lord. But you should add, Lord, please stay with me. I need thee. I need thee every hour. Still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. One aspect of this overwhelming miracle is the fact that Jesus, though Peter asked him to depart from him, didn't do it. Do you know why Jesus didn't do it? Because Jesus had come for this sinful man to be his Savior and Lord. And not only for this man, but for many others. He had come to redeem them from their sin, satisfy for their sin. And in the hour of Jesus' death later on the cross, the Father would depart from his Son. And he was forsaken, remember? In order that Jesus would never forsake Peter, depart from Peter. In fact, remember when Jesus stood before Caiaphas, and when this sinful man, Simon, the disciple, said to save his skin, I know him not, when he denied him 3 times, even then, Jesus did not depart from Peter. But with his look, he turned and looked. And with his love, he sovereignly held on to this sinful man. Do you see that? There is a love of God which is so great, which is so deep, whereby Jesus laid down his life on the cross of Calvary in order to abide with sinful men, so that we may pray to this Savior, abide with me. And he'll do it for his blood's sake, for his word's sake, for his work's sake. So that's one aspect of this overwhelming miracle. But there is another aspect, and it is that Jesus then in his response promises Peter that he'll make something of him. He'll make him to be a fisherman of men. You hear that, Peter? Jesus is taking you, a sinful man, and he's going to use you as a net to draw men and women and children from the sea of the world to himself. And in the process, you, Peter, you'll break, you'll burst as that net. Just as happened a moment ago. People will carry you and bring you where you would not go. But through it all, my kingdom will be built. I must close, congregation. Let me close with two questions. Two questions. Very brief. First question is, have you been overwhelmed by the grace of Jesus? This miracle of grace of Jesus. Has the glory of Christ ever put you into the dust before the broken net of his love and grace? Can I recommend to you this morning anything better than this Savior of sinful men like Simon Peter? And there is none of us who is too vile, and there is none of us too sinful, and there is none of us too doubting. But Christ can save, and Christ can make you a fisher of men. That's the first question. And the second question in closing is, are you listening day by day to the mysterious commands of Christ? Are you lowering your nets, the gospel net, in your marriage, in your family, in your neighborhood, at work? The Lord gives us opportunity in this world, in our work. Perhaps somebody objects. He says, I've tried. All I've done is toiled without result. Not only for my own soul, but also in my marriage, in my family, and in the church. No results. No results. Where is there this breaking of the net in my life, in your life? Where? Let me ask this question then. Have you obeyed the command to launch out into the deep and to lower your net for a catch? Because that's what Christ said to Peter. You know, there are also people who prefer the safety of a shallow relationship with the Lord, which is a shallow religion. The question is, are you and I all, are we ready for the deep? And the deep will cost you. The deep will cost you. You will not be your own. But if Christ be with you in the boat, your boat, then all is well, because he went into the depths for sinners. And the waves went over his soul, so that now he can stay with his people and bring them out of the net. And with wonderful nets, broken nets, show you his glory. O congregation, that you and I would see Christ's glory in more broken nets today. Lord Jesus, grant us that posture that says, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, and to thee shall be all the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, we adore thee for showing us in this portion of thy word the glory of thy Son. Thy glory, Lord Jesus. We sit in awe, amazement, overwhelmed. We confess so much in our so-called Christian life is all about us, about me and me and me. We can spend the whole day for me. But give us, in all our work and profession, in all of our life, to have thee as our Savior and Lord. Make us as a congregation, make us personally, make us as families, make us as individuals, fishers of men who obey thee by thy grace. Oh, fill us with thy look and love. Dismiss us. Bless us this day, we pray. Bring us also together in the later part of the afternoon to hear about Jesus. Jesus, his name. For his name's sake, amen.